Inside Chicago Government. ChiGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz. Ben Jarofsky writes on government and about politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Senator.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on August 29th, 2013, titled Mayor Emanuel, A Tough Leader for a Tough City or Just an A-Hole?
Oh, that one, yes. One of my favorite. It had to be written, David.
I'm curious as to why, even though you used the word asshole in the article, the Reader opted not to print asshole in the title. Any idea about that?
No, none. Maybe we're not quite ready to cross that frontier.
Maybe someone from the mayor's office calls up the Sun-Times regularly and bitches out Jim Kirk?
No, I doubt that. It's difficult to call anybody an asshole in print, particularly someone as all-powerful as our mayor.
Doesn't stop you, though.
Yeah. Let me ask you, do you think he's an asshole?
It's difficult in audio to call the mayor an asshole.
What a wimp. Do you think he's an a-hole?
There's a word you used before we started recording.
Schmuck, jerk.
You're getting closer.
Oh, yes, I remember that
word. You don't want to call him that.
There's
on
so
audio.
Many words.
In this article, you cite two recent actions of the Emanuel administration, namely the demolition of a community center at Whittier High School in Pilsen, and secondly, the snubbing of Second Ward Alderman Fioretti at a Jones High School ribbon cutting in the South Loop. You cite both of these as examples of the mayor being an asshole.
Yes, different ways, of course.
The city claimed that this Whittier Fieldhouse,
yes,
the roof could have collapsed at any time. In addition to that, the building had asbestos contamination. Contrasting to that is the fact that the demolition crew did not follow the strict safety procedures that the law requires for asbestos removal, namely face mask or attempts to confine the dust during the demolition.
Oh.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
So let's contrast that further. Yeah. The local NBC TV affiliate, Channel 5, says that 11 of the dozens of Chicago Public Schools' so-called welcoming schools, the schools which students who were attending schools that were closed ended up at, 11 of them are overdue for fire inspections, some for 3 years.
Mm.
And one on the west side is even in court for building code violations. As Amy Goodman would say, your response.
Well, I think we pretty much summed it up in our introduction.
Next question.
An asshole. He clearly just wanted to send a message to the activists from Pilsen who have claimed the preservation of that field house as a great victory against the man. He wanted to let them know that he could do what he wants when he wants to do it, and if they don't like it, they can leave. So then, having torn the thing down, they come up with these excuses, which, as you very effectively illustrated, are all concocted and contradicted by other actions. And so the overall conclusion that I draw is that this is just a vindictive bully who wants to send a larger message to Chicago that he will not be motivated to change his mind or change his policies just because a bunch of activists demand it. So, welcome to democracy in Chicago. I suppose it's not as bad as Syria. The government's not gassing us, and we're allowed to call him asshole without getting thrown in jail yet.
But not in the title.
But not in the title, yes. I think before the show is over, Dave, I want to hear that word come out of your mouth. Anyway, that's how I view what he did with the Whittier Fieldhouse. I can't remember if we were doing these interviews when I first wrote about the subject so long ago. But my opinion, that whole fight began because Danny Solis, the alderman, and Louis Gutierrez, the congressman, were going to turn the area into a soccer field for a Catholic school that's across the street.
I remember.
And Mayor Daley eventually, who was the mayor then, decided he might as well just back off on tearing it down. It was too hot. So I guess this is another indication of the difference between Rahm Emanuel and Mayor Daley. Well, Mayor Daley was more sensitive to the needs of Chicagoans.
Never thought you'd find yourself saying that.
Well, you know, I mean, that's when you think it can't get worse. It does.
Given those two examples of assholishness, on the part of the mayor, the Whittier example and the Fioretti example, did you originally intend to write about others, or do other ones stand out?
Well, no, this column emerged. I was walking down the street with the great McDumpke, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and I'd been out of town, and we were just talking about what life is like in Chicago with Mayor Rahm. And it was just like the week that was. It was just 1 week's worth of Rahm behavior. We haven't discussed the Fioretti example. That was so petty. I would say that of the two, obviously, the Whittier Fieldhouse is more substantial in its impact, obviously. You know, just physically destroying, just tearing down something that means so much to so many people. In terms of what he did, how he snubbed Fioretti at the ribbon-cutting ceremony, press conference, whatever you want to call it, a staged spectacle that he was overseeing at Jones High School, that was really petty because, as we've discussed, I think on at least two occasions, the whole movement to save that old building at Jones, which the mayor jumped upon after he was going to tear it down, is largely due to organizing efforts that Fioretti was very much a part. I think the noble gesture, the classy gesture, would be to say to Fioretti, please show up, you know, at this ribbon-cutting ceremony, say a few remarks.
Gracious.
It's gracious. Classy. Two words that I don't think anybody will use at any time related to our mayor. Another distinction with Daley, both Fioretti told me this and Scott Wagasback told me this, that for all their differences with Daley, he always invited them to the ribbon-cutting ceremonies, which are sort of like Chicago's version, I think we talked about this before, of a bill-signing ceremony where the president or the governor signs a bill and he has members of both parties who helped pass it through the Congress or the legislature on hand.
The big tent.
Yes, the big tent, to show that there's a lot of concessions happening, compromise, whatever. Government is working the way we want it to work. But in Chicago, the message he wants to send out is that there's only one person in charge, and if you dare to defy him in any way, he will strike back at you in a real petty form. And I think it works to a certain degree. I mean, we've discussed this jokingly in the past, but I've often wondered if aldermen like Joe Moore or Maya Pawar just back off from criticizing the mayor because they don't want his abusive phone calls. He's apparently notorious for making abusive phone calls.
So it's sort of positive reinforcement to his assholishness.
Yes. Well, that's sort of the story of bullies in life in general. They get ahead by being bullies. Nobody defies them. It more and more looks as though the only thing that'll stop Mayor Emanuel from bullying Chicago is for the voters of Chicago to stand up to him and defeat him in the next election and maybe set the stage for a different kind of administration, one that pays attention to what people say they want and tries to compromise.
If enough people feel like they also have been objects of his scorn and ungraciousness, that's the tricky part.
Yes, that's an excellent point. I think that there's an attitude in Chicago that was expressed by that gentleman that I quoted in this particular piece, who was a Northsider, and I didn't use his name because I don't want to embarrass him. We were talking in a Starbucks. He was saying that he's a liberal Northsider, but that we need an asshole for a mayor, and then because that's what a big city has to have in order to keep everybody in line. And then he made some kind of link to his property values, which I found one of the most bizarre links ever, that somehow his property values be fortified by belligerent, bully, petty-like behavior of the chief executive, which property values rise, you know, they go up and down all the time for a lot of reasons, not because the mayor is petty to Robert Fioretti or destroys a field house in Whittier, but, you know, that's the psyche of Chicago voters. Now, as was pointed out to me by one of my readers, that man, like so many Chicagoans, has no trouble with the mayor being belligerent or bully-like or an asshole to somebody other than himself. But when it happens to him or his interests are threatened, like maybe his public little library is closed or his school is closed or his street is blocked off or whatever, then he'll be on the phone calling me, Ben, you have to write an article about this outrage.
You've seen it before.
I've seen it many times before. Chicagoans are quick to be open-minded when it comes to bullying other people, but they don't expect the mayor to do that to them. And so far, the mayor has been very selective, as we've discussed, in who he picks fights with. And he tends to leave wealthier people alone.
Did you see Fran Spielman's article in the Sun-Times where she does an analysis of the mayor's habits of sort of overpromising, of taking every possible opportunity to put a positive PR spin on things and then under-delivering, and then after under-delivering, spinning that as if it were what he promised to do.
Yeah, I saw that piece. I thought it was very good. He governs as though the entire administration is one political campaign, a ceaseless campaign. And so he makes these grandiose statements the way politicians do in campaigns, which may or may not bear any resemblance to the truth. And then he declares a program so he can claim that he made good on his promises. So then when the program comes under criticism, I'm really thinking of the school closings as the greatest example, he then changes direction and changes the program and sort of changes everybody's view of it. So in the case of the school closings, at first, as you recall, he was, I have to close these schools because we're in this financial crisis and we can't afford it anymore. It's just like throwing good money after bad. And then all of a sudden, there's an outcry about everything from kids having to walk through gang territories. Some of the schools that he was going to keep open were not as good as the schools he was closing. So he turned this into, I'm going to improve education for children in poor neighborhoods. So now we're spending, I forget how much we borrowed, this will be the subject of another story, we borrowed quite a bit of money, well over $100 million, just can't remember the number, to implement these school closings.
Which were supposed to save money.
Meanwhile, there's schools all over the city that are in desperate need of capital improvement, and they're not getting anything because the system's broke. So instead of like logically analyzing what his city needs, he makes a declaration, sticks to it, no matter what the circumstances, and then as he has to deviate from his ultimatum, he starts changing his explanation. And so for reporters like Fran Spielman, who are forced to cover him on a daily basis, you can see it in the quotes that they use, how things are changing. And so I thought it was very important that she took a moment to just put it in context like she did.
There's one thing that struck me about the article, and I urge our listeners to go look for it at suntimes.com, to search for Fran Spielman's articles. It is an analysis as opposed to what she normally does, is report on City Hall. And the thing that struck me is that by her reporting, you can tell that she has access to the mayor. In other words, the mayor's office returns her phone calls and she regularly quotes the mayor.
Yes.
So he hasn't crossed her off his list. But now that she has called him out, I'm wondering if that's going to continue.
Well, I doubt it. I mean, Fran Spielman is such an institution in Chicago. You know, she's been covering City Hall since the 80s or whatever. And she probably knows more about Chicago government than any mayor, or definitely more than Mayor Rahm. Of course, you and I know more about Chicago government than Mayor Rahm.
You're saying you doubt that she will be on the outs?
Well, he'll continue to tease her. He's got this banter he does with her. That's part of his other problem. He's not that funny, but he thinks he's funny, which is Mayor Daley's problem as well. So so he makes jokes when he sees her. I think he compared her once to his mother, which that was weird. We're calling that really a Sigmund Freud moment. So he'll probably continue to tease her, but I don't think it'll be as easy to ignore Fran Spielman as it is to some, you know, ignore me.
You quote a friend of the mayor's as saying Emanuel, quote, can be a really decent guy, unquote, and that rather than an asshole, he's, quote, very, very ambitious, relentlessly ambitious, unquote. What do you think are the mayor's ambitions to which the friend refers?
You know, I didn't get into it with the friend. I know what you're sort of getting at. Like, where does he want to go next?
Well, so, the friend calls him ambitious.
Yeah. I think his ambition is sort of a determination to win. And by winning means just conquering your foe.
To get his way.
To get his way, even if it makes no sense. And even if you're claiming you got your way when you didn't really get your way. Like, for instance, on the longer school day, we're now analyzing another half-baked scheme he came up with. He claims he gave Chicago a longer day, and somehow or other that's beneficial to the students of Chicago. We've discussed this before. He's pretty much taken away all the money that he gave to give any meaning to the longer day. So now we're stuck with more time in school and nothing to do with the time. So you could argue that we're worse off. A lot of principals are arguing that point. It won't keep him from pounding that drum when he runs for re-election that I brought Chicago a longer school day, and this is really important to him. It will be used by out-of-town columnists, particularly those in the New York Times, to champion him as some kind of reformer because he forced the schools to take a longer day, even though there's nothing meaningful with that longer day. So in that regard, I think his ambition is to promote himself as a brand, Rahm, he's been successful at that. You know, he's done a terrible job managing our schools. I'd say he's probably the worst manager of the schools that I've seen since I moved to Chicago in 1981. But he's done a great job of promoting his brand. That's how I sort of view his ambitions. He wants to win. And so, for instance, you know, bulldozing Whittier is just part of that. You know, well, I won. That'll teach you to defy me. I think back to that Whittier protest. That's the field house he bulldozed. Originally, there was a sit-in there. And we did talk about this because it was 2010. Yeah. So, yeah, there was a sit-in there. And there was that sit-in that forced Mayor Daley to back off on bulldozing it. Well, that took place right around the time that Emanuel was running for Mayor Daley's seat. I recall that one of his opponents, Miguel Del Valle, went to Whittier to champion the cause and stand with the sit-in protesters. And Emanuel avoided the issue. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to take a stand one way or the other. And I remember the demonstrators chasing him at some point, you know, trying to get him to take a stand. Yes, I remember this.
What do you mean chasing him?
Well, there was like a public appearance in Pilsen, and they had signs, and, you know, they want to come. What about our field house, Emanuel? And he avoided them, which he does on occasion. He'll go out the back door to avoid a protester who's demanding something of him. So I don't think he forgot that. It took him about 3 years to get back, but he got back.
Yeah, I was wondering about the direct line. It wasn't very clear to me, but that does draw a line.
That was a big issue. The Whittier field house was a big issue at the onset of the last mayoral campaign.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, that's all we've got time for. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
Listeners, you can subscribe to automatic downloads of all of the audio reporting of Inside Chicago Government. On your web, go to chigov.com and look for the box that says Follow Chi Gov. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.